Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Joining me now to break down all the market action, the very happy Ryan Huang. How are you, Ryan? How's the weekend?
The weekend was pretty good. Everyone's happy. So coming off the weekend, I suppose you are happy too.
Well, I didn't welcome somebody special
over the weekend. Yeah, so I had a second kid come into the household over the weekend. A bit of a journey because it was premature, so he spent some time in the hospital. After a few weeks, finally, my son came back or came home. Yes.
That's wonderful.
So a bit of adjustment with the hours.
How are you sleeping?
That's the adjustment I'm talking about. So as you would imagine, there is morning feedings, mid-morning feedings, every hour, every other hour, so on. Something's happening. And then you've got the parts of the day when the baby is so silent, you know, and you're wondering, is it still alive?
And then you're checking on it. Listen to it breathe.
It's like, you're so worried all the time.
Oh my goodness. It really sounds like a busy weekend, but congratulations.
Yep, thank you.
And let's start this Monday morning. I wish we could start in the world of babies, but we have to head to the world of direct deals and institutional trade. So who's buying, who's selling, and what might it mean for you? There are some familiar names on the direct deals this week, but I'm going to start with a company that may not be a household name, Zico Holdings. It's a wealth management company that offers legal and advisory services. In addition to asset management, Zico Holdings is listed on the Catalyst Board of the Singapore Exchange, and its CEO has been pretty active in the market, trading more than a million shares of Zico last week. Ryan, has Zico CEO Ng Hong Heng been buying or selling his company stock?
All right, Zico is in the buying column. So we've got a CEO buying up more than a million shares at 4 cents per share. So this comes as he had a 2.92% stake. After buying extra shares, he now has a 3.2% stake. So he has been with Zico for quite some time, since 2014 as an executive director, and then later on becoming CEO last year. So he's been around and, of course, pretty much in line or aligned with the company's growth plans.
Ng paid an average of 4 cents a share for his recent purchases. Zico Holdings now trading at around 4.9 cents. That might not sound like a big difference, but pretty much still adds to a gain of about $10,000. Zico Holdings shares gained 16% last week, but they are down 26% over the past year. Now, our next director deal in focus, also a company that's in the financial industry, but it's a name which is a little bit more familiar, iFast. This wealth management platform has a market cap of more than $2 billion, and one of its director, Lim Wee Kian, was active in the markets this past week. Ryan, was Lim a buyer or a seller of iFast shares?
All right, he is also a buyer. And I suppose he has some reason to do so. If you look at some of the recent news flows around iFast, sometime last month, it talked about its assets under administration growing 13.8%. So you've got a couple of good things happening for iFast. And maybe that's one reason why Lim Wee Kian, the non-independent director, bought 25,000 more shares at an average price of $6.89 to bring his total stake from 6.61 to 6.62%.
Okay, so Lim bought shares at an average price of $6.89 a share. iFast has dropped a few percent since then. But it is worth noting that analysts at UBS Global Research have set a target price for iFast of $10.50. That is more than 50% above iFast's current price. So a couple of more familiar names on this week's director deals list as well. Raffles Medical Group's executive chairman has been an active buyer of his company's shares once again, as have directors at JB Foods and Intrico. All right, let's segue from finance to property, where City Developments is currently the largest institutional buyer of its own shares. CDL purchased more than $24 million worth of its own shares last week at an average price of $5.92 a share, just more or less in line with where the stock closed out in the week. CDL's CEO believes that his company's stock is substantially undervalued. Why is that?
Yeah, so that buyback accounted for just over 22% of CDL's trading volume that day. So you are looking at quite a bit of volume. And looking at the thinking behind it, you have the CDL management thinking, hey, the value is there because of a couple of things. One is that the CDF shares are trading at a 70% discount to its revalued net asset value. So the revalued NAV is computed after factoring fair value gains on investment properties and revaluation surpluses on the group's hotel portfolio. So all in, they think it's good value. Mm-hmm. And it's also worth noting it's the first buyback of ordinary shares since 2018, about 6 years.
Wow. CDL CEO Sherman Quick argues that CDL is trading at 70% discount to the company's net asset value. Pretty big discount. So far, though, investors not biting. While CDL shares gained a bit of ground last week, they're still down 18% over the past year. Our colleague Ben Paul has published a piece in today's BT, arguing that perhaps CDL should use its cash reserves rather than buy back shares. What do you make of this argument?
Yeah, Ben Paul's a pretty sharp guy. So he's been tracking CDL for quite some time, and he was quite tempted to pick up some bargains when the share price of CDL tumbled below $6 last month. Ooh. So he was thinking, hey, maybe I'll buy some shares. And then he had second thoughts about it because of a couple of reasons. Hmm. One is because of CDL's, ironically, share buyback plan. So if CDL is in the market to buy its own shares, it's going to prop up the share price and then compete with Ben Paul. So that is the equation he's looking at. Plus, he's also asking a question if CDL should be using the money to buy back shares or return to the shareholders or
buy new assets
or just keep it handy for tougher times, because it's a tough environment to raise money these days, especially if you're trying to refinance what was previously low interest rate loans into where it is right now, which is higher relatively. So you've got that consideration. What is the best use of your money right now? So he's thinking about that. And then you have also how CDL has been doing for the past few years, which has not been super. Their share price has been going through a bit of a slump because the profitability of CDL's business has not been as good. So it has some ways to go to revive its fortunes. So there are a few things he's kind of trying to weigh out in this sense.
Last year, CDL spent nearly $2.5 billion acquiring properties and investments. A big one over in London, where it purchased 23 acres at St. Catherine Docks, comprising restaurants, shops, residences, marina, as well as offices. All right, I'm going to march towards the U.S. because a bout of selling on Friday led to Wall Street's second straight weeks of losses, even though the S&P 500 hit a record high earlier in the week. Who were the worst performers, you ask? Small caps and tech counters. The Russell 2000 dropped 2% last week. The Nasdaq fell 0.7%. Now, one stock that has been in focus is Apple, not always for the right reasons. I'm going to start with the headlines and then we'll get to Brooks Takes. Apple has agreed to pay nearly $500 million US dollars to settle a class action lawsuit that alleges that Apple CEO has defrauded investors. How so, Ryan?
Yeah, these are big words. Defrauded investors. Well, it boils down to how Tim Cook apparently was painting the picture of China, sales prospects, how they might do in the year 2018. So the investors felt it didn't really materialize because, as we've seen, China did go through some headwinds with the wider backdrop, and Apple, of course, faced a lot of competition. So they were feeling a bit misled, or at least shortchanged when it came to the results that Apple had in China, at least. So they feel this outlook from Mr. Cook created a bit of an artificial inflation of share prices for Apple, and they are not too happy with how things have played out. And of course, as you've seen, Apple has been going through some intense competition in the smartphone space, plus people have been trying to put off their purchases of Apple phones anyway. Mm-hmm. So not great for Apple, and sales for iPhones have been going down. So you have, I suppose, some complaints from shareholders that Tim Cook did not give accurate guidance. So it's going to be an interesting one to see if he can stand in court.
Since Apple issued a profits warning back in January 2019, the company's share price has more than quadrupled. And given that the iPhone maker has a market cap of $2.6 trillion US. I think it can afford the $490 million slap of a settlement. That said, Apple's share price is in a technical correction. It is down more than 10% since the beginning of the year. That's leading some analysts to argue that this company's high growth days are behind it. In fact, they say Apple is beginning to look more like a value stock like Coca-Cola than a high-tech growth counter. Walk us through this argument.
Yeah, I'm tempted to agree with it because if you think about it, Apple is a huge company and you have a few things going for it. You've got a pretty solid business. It's selling iPhones and services and so on. But at the same time, if you remember the Apple back in the day, many, many, many years ago, they would be releasing very groundbreaking products. Every announcement, every showcase would have one more thing, which would blow you away. Not so much these days.
Yeah.
And that kind of gives you an idea of the new Apple it is now. It is, I suppose, more focused on holding on to market share, not so much winning market share, at least not so much as before. So you've got that playing out. And also, you have, I suppose, the inertia of being a big company. So when it's too big, you have that possibility of it becoming less nimble. And then you have also in the mix Apple investors flocking to Apple in tough times, making it a defensive stock of sorts. People like Apple because Apple is Apple. It's a huge company. They are predictable and they perform consistently. So much so, it has become a defensive stock. So some of the tech names have become defensive stocks in that sense, not just Apple. So it's a bit of a change in paradigm here.
Interesting. There's no question Apple is still generating massive revenues, but it has given up the dream of building an iCar. Remember that? And it seems to be lagging behind on the AI front. So overall, what do we make of this argument that Apple's high growth days are behind it?
Yeah, I am tempted to say maybe, but they've got still the Apple Vision Pro. So you can't count them out. And things go in cycles as well. Apple had a few good cycles. You might remember even longer before Tim Cook was around. Mm. You had Steve Jobs. Before Steve Jobs, Apple went into a bit of a slump. And then Tim Cook came, or rather Steve Jobs came around to revive his fortunes again. So maybe it will come down to who is in charge. You know, maybe there'll be another Steve Jobs down the line that could change the fortunes of Apple. And of course, if all the ducks are aligned, then maybe Apple's AI dreams could materialize. And it's still early days when it comes to AI. But if you look at what is available from Apple on the AI front, nothing really groundbreaking yet.
Yeah,
not like a ChatGPT equivalent from Apple. You can't even build it into the Apple car anymore because there's no car. So I'm not sure what sort of synergies you can use right now besides putting in your phone or your goggles. They've got to come up with another one more thing.
I agree. In the meantime, it looks like the bad news pile keeps getting higher and higher for Apple. The iPhone maker facing another lawsuit over its AirTags. Remember those? They're meant to help people from losing things. Several dozen plaintiffs are filing suit against Apple in a U.S. federal court. They argue that AirTags can be used by stalkers. Huh. Apple says AirTags are designed to discourage unwanted tracking, and you'll receive an alert if someone else's AirTag makes it into your stuff.
Yeah, I've been tempted to use AirTags on my kid just to make sure he's not lost.
You should.
So I've been thinking about it, but yeah, I don't use Apple, so that's off the books.
That's a problem then. Get an iPhone. Apple also tried to get this particular case on AirTags and stalkers dismissed, but the judge ruled over the weekend that the case can proceed. All right, let's zoom out now. Take a look at the week ahead. What is on your radar?
All right, a couple of things that might be worth watching. And you've got earnings and the likes of Nike are going to be back in action. So let's take a look at what we can look out for when it comes to Nike. And it comes down to China again. And also to a certain extent, the inventory situation in the US. Are shops restocking Nike? That is going to be one of the big questions because we've seen a bit of a supply glut. Also, central banks will be in action. The FOMC, of course, is a big one. We will find out come Thursday morning if we will get any inkling of further tightening bias or a tightening bias. So rate cuts perhaps in June. So right now, the market's pricing in at a 50-50 odds that it might happen. The other one is the Bank of Japan. And this could see some dramatic changes if it does exit its negative rate policy for the first time. We might see a hike in 14 years. So that is going to be a big change when it comes to policy settings for at least the BOJ.
As you mentioned, central banks will be in focus this week. In addition to the Fed, the Bank of England, Bank of Japan, as you mentioned, People's Bank of China also all making interest rate announcements this week. So that's where most of our focus is going to be. Time for a game of up or down. Let me climb on the corporate seesaw as we evaluate British retailer Currys.
All right, Currys is going to be a down for me because it was in the middle of a tug of war among people hoping to buy it up. Well, one of them has walked away, and it is Chinese online retailer JD.com. They are no longer keen in the takeover race for the British electronics chain Currys. So one less suitor for it.
Yeah, this is Currys' second rejection in just a couple of days. Another potential suitor, Elliott Investment Management, has also said it is no longer going to make a bid for the electronics retailer. Shares of Currys finished down 4% on Friday in UK trade, dropped more than 12% last week. So definitely a down for Currys, but appears to be an up for JD.com. Its share price jumped nearly 13% last week. Let's look at Macca's. How's McDonald's looking?
Yeah, so from Currys not in favour to, I suppose, McDonald's not being able to sell anything. Because IT problems galore. We are talking about a widespread system outage. And this includes many parts of the world.
Ooh.
We are talking about Asia, Japan, the US, the UK. You know, you've got a couple of outlets going through some tough times because of the network issues.
Oh, gosh.
So people could not order on the platform, the online platform. People, the staff had to resort to pen and paper.
Ah!
So I'm not sure if the younger folks remember how to use pen and paper, but it was a tough time for McDonald's to navigate. They have come to say it is not a cybersecurity event.
Lots of hangry people. People in Singapore upset, Europe, much of Asia Pacific because the Golden Arches app went offline. My Apple's been going offline at home.
What's happening for
my
Apple
TV? It's very irritating. I'm trying to watch Constellation, and I just cannot get it to work.
Time for a new TV.
What is with these tech outages? All right, let's look at Novartis.
All right, Novartis is an up for me because they are making news. In fact, they are breaking ground on a new facility in Singapore, $342 million expansion of the Singapore plant. Mm-mm. So 100 new job openings to be created on that front. So wow. Novartis, congratulations.
Well done. That is an up from me as well. Novartis shares, by the way, have lost a bit of ground over the past month, but they're still up more than 18% over the past year. All right. Coming in last, at least in terms of our list, is SATS.
Mm-hmm. SATS is selling its U.S. military contractor unit Maytag aircraft for $46 million. So I would say it's an up for me. More money to do more stuff. So it is up for SATS.
All right. SATS shaking up its business unit. The Singapore listed company is buying an air cargo handler in Sweden. This acquisition will cost about $12 million. And also give SATS a border inspection business in Sweden. Meanwhile, SATS is selling off a unit called Maytag Aircraft, which services U.S. military planes and bases. It's going to get $46 million U.S. for that sale. Shares of SATS down 8% over the past month. Thank you very much, Ryan. Before I let you go, are you a Kung Fu Panda fan or a Dune kind of guy?
Yeah, I've been seeing Kung Fu Panda about these days. There's a movie going on, and my kid actually watched it, and she is very keen on taking up wushu classes right now.
As she should, all girls should take up martial arts. It changed my life as a grown-up girl. Our Kung Fu Panda may be having the better weekend, but Dune Part 2 is currently the highest grossing film of the year. It's pulled in $500 million US since its release, already higher than Dune 1, and that's a level that few post-pandemic films have reached. I am rewatching Dune 1 so that I can enter the cinema fully equipped with background.
Yeah. How about Kung Fu Panda? Are you going to watch it?
Never.
1, 2, 3?
Never.
It's number 4 now.
Never. Unless forced. All right. Well, enjoy the week ahead, Ryan.
You too, Michelle.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.